Here is what you missed this morning on the Catholic Morning Show.
Let's go to our next guest, Pastor of Christ the King on the south side of Des Moines, Father P.J. McManus. Hello, Father.
Good morning, Johnny.
It's good to see you the other day at Jen Fulweiler's event.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
And you gave her a blessing beforehand, which was a sight to see.
That was the first time I've been asked for a blessing in a comedy club. I hope it isn't the last.
That was awesome. I just saw pictures, but that's really cool. All right, we've got three questions that have come in here. Here we go. We'll start with the first one for you, Father. I have heard some people say that Catholicism and some Protestant denominations are not much different. But isn't the Eucharist and our devotion to Our Lady make Catholicism monumentally different?
Yes. I think the problem is, I think there are two kind of ways to go about answering this. You know, the first one is, of course, our understanding of the Eucharist and therefore its role in the life of the Church is very different in Catholicism than in most Protestant communities, and likewise, our connection to Our Lady is very different. But I think that the problem is that sort of looks at the issue or the relationship between the churches primarily is just like matters of content. So like the faith is a series of bullet points, and these are two big bullet points that they're missing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's probably the right way to think about this. When the church talks about our relationship to other Christian communities, it first discusses not Protestants, even though they're more numerous in this part of the world, but Orthodox Christians. And, of course, these are things that we share with Orthodox Christians. Orthodox Christians have a great devotion to Our Lady that looks much like ours does, and they certainly believe in and care for the Eucharist in the same sorts of ways that we do. And in fact, we acknowledge their Eucharist as a real thing. So the first thing is to just recognize that our relationship between different churches is different, and that's by design. Mm. But it's not primarily because there's particular points of, particular bullet points of doctrinal congruence or not. It's more about orientation. I would say that the bigger issue, the more monumental difference between Catholicism and most Protestant communities is fundamentally our approach to Scripture. What do we think this text is doing, and what was it written for? And that's a large part of why we yield these different conclusions, because if the Bible is, and now different Protestant communities are going to think different things about this, but mm-hmm. if the Bible is like a dictated document by God through specific persons in some previous historical period that you can just pick up and read and immediately sort out all on your own, you're gonna get a very different sense of what's going on than if this is a document that belongs in the context of a believing community, and the believing community is the group that's authorized to figure out what it says. Because then you have something to hold yourself accountable to, see? And there are, of course, huge differences between us and our Protestant friends, but I don't know that just picking this doctrine or that doctrine is going to do it. If you did do it, I think what you'd have to do is with the Eucharist, but it's not simply because, well, we say Jesus is really there and they say it's only a symbol. That's sure. Partly true, but not enough. It's because of what we think happens at the Eucharist itself, not simply presence, but sacrifice. That's what the real issue was at the Reformation. Mm-hmm. Most Protestants at the time of the Reformation thought Jesus was present in the Eucharist. They just didn't think it was a sacrifice. We insist on calling our priests, and our mass is a sacrifice. That's a whole different vision of what church is and what church does.
Really good, Father. Really good. Second question comes in from a listener. Is it possible to forgive someone and still never want to be around them?
Yeah, sometimes even advisable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if we get hurt badly enough, it can be bad for us to be around somebody. And Aquinas would point to this even more readily. It might be bad for them for you to be around them.
Mm.
And if you've genuinely forgiven someone, if you're really striving for authentic charity toward the person, and you're an occasion of sin for them, or you're an occasion of despair for them, then it might it might be more charitable just to remove yourself from the situation permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. Is forgiveness a feeling? I mean, I feel like this is what the listener's getting after, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking for her, but what do you think?
Forgiveness is fundamentally an act of the will.
Yeah.
And that's desperately important, because when people hurt us badly, the first time we say, "I'm sorry," we don't quite mean it.
Hmm.
Whether we say it to them or just kind of say it to ourselves, not "I'm sorry, I forgive you," rather. We're not altogether bought in, but we know we should, right? So you forget to pick up the milk, you get home and say, "Oh, Teresa, I'm sorry." She says, "It's all right." Well, that's a relatively minor slight, right?
Yeah.
But if you forget your anniversary, it's a different thing now.
Right.
And so you say you're sorry, and she says, I know you didn't mean it. It's okay. And she means it, like she's not lying, but she doesn't mean it hard yet.
Yeah.
She's got to kind of talk herself up to it, right? And so it's by the consistent act of the will over a longer period of time that you're able to really, really forgive. And that's because forgiveness is really kind of a subset of charity, and our capacity for charity, our capacity for love, grows precisely by using it.
Dr. Peter Kraft said once in one of his books, God does not command us to feel love for one another. He commands us to love one another.
That's correct.
And it goes exactly to the heart of what you said with forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Right. So God does not command us to feel all these, you know, nice, sweet feelings for a person again upon forgiveness, but he does command us to forgive. And so those are two different things. Sometimes, you know, feelings just are, they come and go, but, you know, it's something to work through. And I can honestly say it certainly doesn't happen overnight. So, listener, continue the hard work of this. Number three, our question comes in. What is your favorite of Thomas Aquinas' arguments for the existence of God, Father?
This is the best question anyone's asked.
There you go.
So this person gets a gold star for the day.
Nice.
My favorite is probably the least popular, and that's the fourth, which is known as the argument from degree or perfection. And so Aquinas puts it this way. Things are found in degrees. So there's a greater degree and a lesser degree of goodness, of truth, of beauty, and all that kind of stuff, right? But more or less are terms spoken of in things as they approach something that is greatest or sort of mostest, right? So you can only talk about hotter or cooler because there is something that is hottest, right?
Sure.
And that thing that is hottest or mostest when we're talking about goodness, truth, beauty, perfection, what we call traditionally the transcendentals, that's God. But the fact that it's even possible to talk about degrees presumes an nth degree. And the nth degree is what we call God.
That's your favorite. I didn't think that was where you were going to go. I thought maybe contingency or something like that. But that's maybe beauty. That's good. That's really good.
The reason I like this today is because we live in a world that delights in the language of spectrum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality's on a spectrum, neurology's on a spectrum, economy's on a spectrum, right? Like we talk about spectra all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is recognizing, right? Look, spectras are things. That's true. Like there are greater and lesser degrees of things. You're 100% right. But if it's true that there are things that exists on a spectrum, then there has to be something at the end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you couldn't meaningfully talk about the things in the middle. And so I think it appeals to a kind of cognitive bias that that is simply easier for a lot of people today to get their minds around than contingency, because I don't think most people think in the language of contingency or necessity.
Your challenge, Father, is to sneak this into a homily sometime. I think people would just love it. You probably already have, but that would just be awesome.
Challenge accepted. Come to church Sunday.
All right. There we go. Father P.J. McManus, would you give us your blessing, Father?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father P.J. McManus, everyone. God bless you, Father. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
A-plus stuff this morning, friends.
Listen to the Catholic Morning Show weekday mornings at 7 on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, iowacatholicradio.com, or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.